This is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield from The Lynn Group. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Michael provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Man, oh man, it has been a busy couple weeks. We are drinking headline news and information and economics and news and news and news. We're drinking it through a fire hose. It's hard because, you know, I try to keep these minutes, these videos to like, you know, 10, 12 minutes, but how do you cover all of this stuff? I sat down this morning thinking about what I wanted to talk about and wrote down all these things. The stock market is up. Why? Obviously, is a big question. Inflation, earnings, this giant Middle East trip that in and of itself should be a full video. I thought we were going into recession. We just had a debt downgrade by Moody's this over the weekend. We got student loan stuff. What about the weak dollar? What happened to that conversation? Remember when the dollar was going to collapse a month or two ago because of the administration? There's so much going on, and it's kind of fascinating. And the reality is if you go back and watch some of my previous videos over the last month or so or two, we touched on a lot of this stuff about how the market, if we're going to focus on the market for a second, is being driven by headlines. And so the headlines in the first half of April were all mean, negative, terrible, the end is near, it's all over kind of stuff. And once again, go watch our videos, go watch the tape, go watch what we talked about. We talked about how, you know, we felt some of this was disingenuous and some of this wasn't real. And as soon as those headlines changed, what would happen? And here we are, the headlines have changed dramatically and the market has skyrocketed up. You know, one of the things that has changed in the headlines, let's start kind of popping on some stuff here, is inflation data. So inflation data for April just came out last week and inflation rolled over to a, you know, 12-month low, two-year low, something like that. Inflation's just over 2% in totality, which is really close to what the Federal Reserve's goals were. This inflation read I have on here is PCE. You know, we commonly talk about CPI, Consumer Price Index, but the government likes to use the PCE. So it's really the same number. But inflation has gone down. This little purple line going down to the right means inflation rolled over. And everyone said, well, wait a second. I was told that, you know, with the tariffs kicking in, because remember, they've already kicked in. There's already 10% tariffs. Just because there's been bigger pauses on some of the bigger tariffs doesn't mean by default price structure hasn't increased. A lot of companies were sitting on inventory and reserves, so maybe they didn't have price adjustments. So we're going to watch this. But the reason the stock market has been doing well is this theme broke one narrative, right? We were dealing with just a couple weeks ago the idea that stagflation was coming. Inflation was only going straight up. The labor market was softening. You know, we had no growth. The GDP was negative. Bad, 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 bad. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. Maybe things aren't so dour after all. We're getting into, you know, we're wrapping up first quarter earnings pretty quickly. And so far, you know, we have earnings that looking like they're pacing at 13% year over year growth. That's over 10%. That's fantastic. Remember, go back last year, go back to the beginning of the year. I always talk in the beginning of the year, what are the pillars of the stool that are going to drive the market up? And one of those is always earnings. And good earnings growth is good earnings growth, period. And so companies are still growing. This was great news. I'm happy to see that this number is growing. It actually increased week over week. 2 weeks ago, it was at 12.8%. Last week, with the rest of the earnings, now we're at 13.4. So earnings are doing just fine. We're very happy-wappy with that. A few weeks ago, remember J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, whoever they were, everyone was saying, oh my gosh, recession impending. And now all of a sudden, everyone's saying, just kidding. All those recession estimates have gone down. They become more benign. One of the offsets that happened over the weekend is Moody's came out and they downgraded U.S. debt from AA1 to AAA, one notch. Now, what they were citing here is, you know, obviously the federal government's borrowing deficit, the ramifications of rolling existing debts, blah, blah, blah. I don't disagree with them. We have huge fiscal issues in this country. In fact, I think a couple months ago, we made a video here that was titled, you know, the debt death spiral. We have a lot of issues with this. Now, interestingly enough, yesterday, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, he came out and he said, the problem with this is this is a lagging indicator looking at the debt. The government is in a process right now of cutting spending, controlling debt, rebalancing things, doing all this stuff. And so Moody's is looking backwards and saying, look at all of the spending. For example, a week or so ago, there was an article I saw on Investment News that pointed out that, oh my gosh, our deficit spending is up dramatically year over year. It's up worse than before. And I've talked about that a lot. Go back to the December videos and things like that. Is from October, where the fiscal year of the government starts, to January, the government massively overspent. I don't remember what the number was, 40, 50, 60% year over year deficit spending. That was the previous administration. The current administration isn't on that same pace at the moment. So we just need to be patient. I think Scott Bessent was very accurate. And that's why this morning, you know, when one would say, oh my gosh, U.S. debt downgraded, this is horrible news, you would think you'd wake up to the stock market crashing this morning, and we didn't. And the reason that we didn't is because there's more positive catalysts than negative at the moment in these headlines. The other big boy, what else is going on? Oh my gosh, so much stuff to get to. The Middle East, right? Oh my God, let's skip this ad off. This is just a random article. So the administration goes to the Middle East, right? He's there all last week. They go through a ton of things trying to reshape relationships with the Middle East. I wrote a bunch of them down. In Saudi Arabia, we secured what they call a strategic economic partnership with Saudi Arabia. This is a $142 billion arms deal, collaboration, energy, health, space exploration. That's huge. Another reason that I think is subtle that's not being talked about going to Saudi Arabia, is the petrodollar. You know, when the new administration came in January, there was a big conversation as the dollar was weakening that, oh my gosh, the dollar is going to collapse. The U.S. is an embarrassment. Other currencies are going to pop up as the reserve currency. If anybody wasted their time doing the actual research, what you would find out is that massive importing that the U.S. did that also screwed up our first quarter GDP. When you import a ton of money, you're putting a bunch of dollars out into the globe. And it's supply and demand. So when there's too many U.S. dollars in the globe because we massively imported in the first quarter, completely abnormal math, you flood the world with dollars, and that brings down the value of the dollar. And so that's why the dollar softened, but now it's stabilizing because we don't have the same import imbalance all of a sudden. Wow, all of a sudden things start to make sense. They then go to Qatar. Qatar decides to buy 210 Boeing jets for almost $100 billion, biggest order in Boeing's history. Qatar also pledges $10 billion to upgrade their AI airbase, which is a U.S. facility. They then go to United Arab Emirates. UAE commits to importing 500,000 NVIDIA AI chips annually and focuses on becoming a global AI hub in support of the U.S. They then go to Syria. They meet with the new Syrian dude. They decide to remove all of the sanctions on Syria, trying to bring Syria into the Middle East fold of, hey, let's stop fighting. Let's all be friends and let's focus on economic health and growth and wealth for our citizens. A lot of this was passive aggressive with trying to get Iran to be friendly. And so there were headlines at the end of last week implying that Iran was willing to give up their nuclear programs and get along. And then over the weekend, that all devolved, right? So Iran is now saying, forget that jazz. We ain't giving it up. We're enriching uranium. Buzz off. So we'll see how that plays out. So maybe that was one hoped for goal of the U.S. that doesn't seem to be playing out. So a lot happened. The other thing, right before they left on that Middle East trip, I'm all excited today. So many things going on. The Houthis supposedly called the administration. They asked for a ceasefire directly against the U.S. They would no longer be shooting at U.S. ships as they go through the Red Sea and that area where the Houthis attack everybody. Now, this is interesting because direct conflict is one thing, but economics is another. So when the Houthis started doing all of that, everybody started rerouting cargo. And so the cargo ships, stuff that leaves the US and all around the world that were going through the, that sea, it takes them 10 days longer and $1 million more of fuel to get to where they're going on average. That's called inflation. That inflated the cost of goods. And so this simple ceasefire, if we're able to get more supplies and more supply chain management to work back through that area again, this is inherently going to bring down inflationary pressures, which is fantastic. A concern, a negative, something I'm curious about. A lot of student loans out there floating around. They've kicked back in that it's time to repay them. You've delayed long enough, the government is saying. And my understanding is only 38% of them are in good standing, which means there's a lot of people that are in arrears. There's a lot of people that aren't paying them. And so that is an interesting line item to me, because that does represent $1.7 trillion of debt in the United States. So we're going to have to watch that and see what that means, certainly since the government was the large subsidizer of all of that debt. So that's something we'll certainly keep you guys abreast of. So anyways, I'm talking fast. I'm trying to cover a lot of ground. I think, ironically, the headlines have shifted in a positive way from where they were a couple weeks ago. That's why the market cycled up. That's why the market is resilient at the moment. Obviously, we're still living in headline zone. So we can't be too upset or surprised if those headlines start to shift again. For example, in April, when the larger tariff pauses went into place, those were for 90 days. So we've only seen one really big deal, right, from the UK. We've seen a half a deal from China. Obviously, those were positive headlines for the markets. However, fast forward, we haven't seen anything formally from the rest of the world. And so what happens as we approach that 90-day thing? Are we going to be right back to this tumultuous moment, this chaos moment where tariffs start to skyrocket, everybody starts to freak out? We don't quite know yet. We're going to find out. But hey, appreciate all of our watchers, all of the listeners. If you got questions, concerns, curiosities, give me a call, 805-500-7035. Visit our main website, thelindgroup.com. Otherwise, super appreciate everybody watching, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Wealth Puzzle. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Michael Mansfield at The Lind Group. Call 805-500-7035 or visit them online at thelindgroup.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by the Lind Group Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of California. Insurance products and services are offered through the Lind Group, LLC. The Lind Group, LLC, and the Lind Group Advisors, LLC are not affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.